Again, it won't be the last time. But would you do that?
Father, we love you. Worship you, Jesus. I honor you, Lord. You're wonderful. God, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, God, for your presence that is here changing us, God. Stirring our hearts and our minds ever closer toward you, oh God. Perfecting the saints, oh God. Thank you so much for reaching the hearts of the saved and the sinners alike. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much. God bless you. You can be seated. I have one wife and five children. I think that's a pretty good ratio. And we had church today in St. Louis. Well, they had church in St. Louis. And I prayed for them and asked God to help them as we are here worshiping, that God would help them. And, of course, after our service was finished here, I waited until I thought they were done there, and I texted and I said, how was service? And I asked several people. I have a spectrum. I asked the person that always says, it was wonderful. The preacher could have died in the pulpit. It was wonderful. God moved. And then I asked from that person to the person that, well, has a hard time seeing good in anything. You know? And the person that tends to be more pessimistic said, it was a good service. Different, but it was very good. And I thought, God must have moved. So it's good to be here. I miss them when I'm away, but it's good to be here. And thank you for, if you ever pray for St. Louis, thank you for praying for St. Louis and the work we're doing there. We need the hand of God to lead and guide and direct us, because as the pastor mentioned, we're not just working in the physical, we're working in the spiritual. And it's a different skill set. Altogether different, and we have to operate in both. We have to be wise and harmless here, and then we have to be warriors, and we have to engage spiritually. And so keep praying for us, and that's good. Also, somebody here, and I don't know who you are, and the person may not be here, but you've got relatives in St. Louis, and you keep sending them to us. Bravo, good for you. Whoever that person is, the relative says they attend this church, Pastor, and two people have come, and one came with the Holy Ghost and needed simply to recommit, and he did, and he has been very faithful. I think he's missed one, maybe two services in the last couple months, so pretty much since he's been coming. The other one came without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but just a few Friday nights ago, she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in grand style. She spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance for about 15 minutes. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. And this past Sunday, we baptized her in Jesus' name. So, if that person does not attend church here, you all just heard that for nothing. But you know God is doing something good, and maybe it's an angel. I don't know, but just keep sending them. If you talk to anybody within 50 miles of downtown St. Louis, send them to us. Oh, 100 miles. It doesn't matter. So praise the name of the Lord, God. Thank you so much again for letting me be here on this weekend. And again, Pastor, for spoiling me this time I'm here, and for your friendship. And I always take notes as to what's happening and to the what you're doing here. And I want to take back some best practices and just keep learning. And so thank you so much for presenting such a good example. Amen. Are you ready for the word of the Lord? Amen. I want to spend some time speaking to you tonight about the mind. I mentioned this morning. I alluded to this. But this is an area where God has stirred me. He stirred me all last night and even before I came here. Just to talk about that, we've called the mind the battlefield. It's a place where the beginning of any dynamic, the dynamic of revival or the dynamic of falling away. That's the place where it begins. And this morning, echoing what has already been said, I saw people make commitments and really draw lines in the sand. The work isn't complete, but I saw the starting of some decisions being made this morning. And I thought, that's it, that's it. But all of that wrestling happened in the mind, and then somebody pushed through and it came out and they walked closer. And we prayed for them in Jesus' name, and they made a conscious decision and a firm one. I felt that in my spirit. And so that's what we're going to talk about. Is that all right? The book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 16. I want to read from there, Romans 12, 1 and 2, in the book of Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Again, 1 Corinthians 2, 16, Romans 12 and 1, Philippians 2 and 5. Praise the name of the Lord. My wife texts back and she said to me that she said, "Dear, the Spirit of the Lord moved and there was prophecy. The prophet spoke to us today." And I texted back to her and I said, "Wonderful. Details? Question mark." And she said, "I was pricked in my heart." And I thought, that's good. That's good. We're talking about conviction here, and she's getting pricked in her heart there. And how many know that she needed it? I'm teasing. We all need it. Of the two of us, I promise you, she is the nicer person, the better Christian, probably the better parent, the smarter one. Well, pretty much all the win column belongs to her. And I was smart enough to marry her. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 16. "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Would you just say that last phrase with me? "But we have the mind of Christ." One more time. "But we have the mind of Christ." The book of Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and verse number 2. Then Philippians 2 and 5. The book of Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed through the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The book of Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of a man. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Would you lift your voice and pray with me? Father, we honor you and we thank you so much. Come on, lift your voice and just pray for a move of the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you. God, you're so good to us. I pray, God, that you would instruct us tonight, God, and draw us ever closer to you. I pray, God, that you would help us tonight, oh God. I pray for the one right now in this building who struggles in his mind. For my sister who struggles, God, in her mind, oh God. I pray in the name of Jesus for that one that is being robbed of rest. God, I pray for that one right now that the word of God would, Lord, find a dwelling place in their heart and in their mind, that there would be deliverance, Father. Loose us, God, I pray. Loose us, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You can be seated. I am praying that in this next 30 minutes or so, that somebody in this room who used to have joy, but you don't have as much as you used to have, that you get your joy back. Somebody here didn't sleep well last night. I'm one of them, but it's not because I was worried, because I was praying about this service. I'm not talking about those of you that woke up speaking in tongues. I'm talking about those that struggled last night and the cares of this world were so heavy that it interrupted your rest. If you will give yourself to God, you're going to sleep very peacefully tonight. That's exciting. So I'm going to join you and push back the darkness. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, verse number 10, chapter 10, verse number 3, 4, and 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I alluded to it this morning, those 15 minutes or so of the beginning of prayer, or any other time that's been dedicated to God, where you fight and you wrestle to quiet your brain and your mind. I count those intrusions as exactly that. They are competing with my time with the Master, and they must be pulled down and destroyed, rebuked. I remember being in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and I was reading a series of books by a famous charismatic preacher. And he had written a lot of these articles in the 70s and 80s when there was still quite a move of God and a stirring and a hunger, at least in many people's heart. And he was writing about the miracles and the signs and the wonders that were taking place in the various churches around the United States. And I remember being a little jealous in my spirit, and I said, God, I want that. I ought to be having that. And maybe I was a little just, I said, God, I know who you are by name. So I ought to have that and deal with me. And there were a lot of spiritual things transpiring in that time. And in one particular dream the Lord gave me, I was in the presence of God. Oh, man, it was amazing. It was amazing. It was like a church service to some degree, because I didn't know if I should cry or if I should dance. It was just one of those moments. It was wonderful, and it was peaceful, and it was just, it was God, and God was speaking to me, and it was such pure words. And I heard the words of God, and then there was something, a thing, that separated us. It was a small animal-like thing, well, just like a little monkey, and it was just jumping and making noise, and I could not hear what God was saying, and it bothered me, and I said, God, I cannot hear you. Would you shut this thing up? Would you rebuke it? And I was struggling with God, because my real prayer was, how do I hear your voice clear? And God was helping me, and it wasn't a dream. And the Lord instructed me to rebuke it myself, because it's competing against our time together. And so I did. So every single thought, what you might eat after service, every single thought that takes you away from this time is an intruding thought that must be pulled down, and you can do it. No, you must do it. And if you don't do it, it'll open up a floodgate, and the enemy will have access to places where he does not belong. Hallelujah. Our brain. The human brain is probably the most dynamic place in the entire body. I don't think there's any place like it. It's so complex, and it's got this complex set of networks and neurons, which become the building block of the nervous system, and they transmit information, and it's just amazing. Scientists suggest that there are around 100 billion neurons in the brain, give or take a few billion. Look at someone and say, the mind is the battleground. Just bear with me for a second while I geek out. So it is that you are this wonderful recorder. I'm talking about your mind. Some of y'all are going to get it back. I mean full control, so that when you invoke the name of Jesus, which is higher than every other name, like all of creation and like all of the angels, your mind stops and goes, wow. And no other voice has preeminence. So we see and we learn and we hear. And the brain records in so many ways. I'm only going to go through a few of them just to get where we need to go. First of all, the brain will record what it sees iconically. It's like an icon on a computer. You got to stay with me the entire time. It will record things iconically so that something it sees has meaning, and it records that way. The brain records echoically, so not only do you have a processor and storage for things that you see, you have process and you have storage for things that you hear, and you can hear things, and a little phrase that you hear will stick with you sometimes for many, many years. And the brain will record episodically, and that's just those 30 seconds, or maybe it's a 5-minute span. And if you were to close your eyes, and if I were to ask you to go back and think about an important moment in your life, an episode, you'd be able to recount it, and my brain will recount it pretty much verbatim. Smells and sights and sounds and those things all take you back to wherever you were when you first experienced them. Scientists suggest that we have somewhere around 50,000 thoughts per day. It's a lot. And that 70 to 80% of those thoughts are negative. That means if you have 50,000 thoughts, 35 to 40,000 of those thoughts are negative. Talking about getting our mind back. The brain, the way God designed it, will gravitate to patterns. It'll gravitate to those patterns once they have been established. And so in your mind, and thus in your spirit, and thus in your behavior, you can be someone that will have an episode that will cause you to have a little bit of bitterness that will take root, and you will eventually be a very bitter person. Or maybe it's the other way around, and it's a something that a seed is planted of love and joy, and you fertilize that, and you nurture that, and you become a loving and a very joyous person. So I want you to contrast what happens in real life to Americans, where 40,000, as many as 40,000 of their daily thoughts are negative, to this scripture. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. My God in heaven, imagine this. Living in a world where those around you have somewhere between 35 and 40,000 negative thoughts, and then you come on the scene filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, talking about things that are good, talking about things that are lovely, talking about things that you are a light in darkness, but you've got to let your light shine, and you cannot become more like the world. The world has to become more like the church, and God designed the church that we would think that way. And if God says you ought to think that way, He has given you the capacity to do it. And I want to help you do it so you can finally get to sleep at night and you don't have to worry and fret and be in fear, but you can walk in the power of the Holy Ghost and the authority that is found in the name of Jesus. Guard your heart. Guard your thoughts. The devil otherwise will take your heart and your thoughts and your emotions if you don't guard them. So people who have been burned, hurt, because they have been burned and hurt in one area, they will often become discouraged and drop their guard in all areas. And so they're unprotected. And then the enemy has entrance. You get to a point where, anybody ever been hurt, burned in the church? Nobody. Wow. Hang around for a while. Two of us, thank you. And you survived it, you better believe you did. I probably told you this story, but it's a true story. I don't know why God placed me in this church. He placed me in rural America for 9 years. I represented, there was like under 1% minority. There were three minorities in the county where I live. Three. That's rural. I represented the entire minority of the ministers in that section of the state of Missouri. I was it by myself. Just me. I was in a great church. It was a strange church to be so deep in the woods. That church was rocking. I mean, that church really had it. They had the spirit moving. They had it. They were rocking. And the people were so kind to me and my family. They were wonderful. I wrecked a car once, and some folks in the church, in that same church, had just purchased a brand new vehicle 2 days before. I wrecked mine. They brought me their brand new vehicle and said, just keep it until you get something else. It can be 2 or 3 months, just keep it. And they just turned and walked away. And that's how they treated me the entire time I was there. If I would preach and say, man, I sure do like whatever kind of pie. If I said that in the morning, Sunday morning, come Sunday night, there was a coconut cream pie with my name on it. And man, them women could cook. And that's how I was treated. But on one particular service, we had an evangelist come through. And I was not speaking. I'm not sure if I was sitting on the platform. And church service was starting to kind of rev up. And I walked by some of the brothers in the church, and they were construction workers. They drove 2 hours to work in St. Louis. And they were talking about working in St. Louis. And I overheard the conversation, and it went like this. Well, we're in St. Louis. You know, we have to lock our doors because you know how they are. And I walked by that conversation, and I thought, they who? I am not checking the time. Oh, you mean they black folks? And I did not say a word, but in my spirit, I was burned. Praying, fasting, studying to preach the word to these folks for whatever years it had been up until that point, and that's the kind of remark I overheard. I was done with it. And I was serious. And so I don't know where, I think I sat somewhere and I was being sour. And as soon as the speaker gave the altar call, I was on the platform by that point. I went to the furthest place on the platform. I was probably 15, 20 feet from anyone, at least 30 feet from the speaker. And I said, God, I am so over it. I am done preaching to these white people. I will never preach to another white person as long as I have breath in my body, and you can kill me if it's that's fine too. I'm done. I know, I mean, I didn't even get the word done out of my mouth, and the preacher who was about 30 feet away was standing there, hands on me. Brother Blash, God just spoke to me. And God says, I have given you favor with this people, and these are my people, and you are my voice, and I have called you to this place for this time, and you must preach to these people. I am not messing with you. It was the first time in my life that I really believed with all my heart that he hears your prayers instantly. I was so shocked and I was so embarrassed. Man, I started repenting. I looked like Michael Jackson. I was doing the backslide. I was backpedaling so fast. I was like, oh, no, God. I mean, these are my brothers, oh, God, and I'm so sorry. And I found myself on my face repenting to God for my nasty attitude. The truth of the matter is every single one of those men would have taken a bullet for me. And not just back then, to this day. But you see how that little root of bitterness could have entered into my spirit, and it would have dwelled there, and before long, I would have been a very bitter person. I'm preaching to somebody. You cannot afford to give the devil that kind of access to your mind and to your spirit. You can't do it. That's not his territory.
Talking to some folks in this place right now, and your mind and your emotion, the enemy has too much access to it. I'm begging you tonight to shut the door. I'm going to give you as much as I can give you in the next 25 minutes or so to help you to shut the door. There's got to be just one voice that rings preeminent in your head, and that's got to be the voice of the Lord. And you've got to be able to hear it and then respond to it. And every competing voice must be pulled down. But that scripture that we cast down, it's a little ambiguous. What does that really mean? I mean, I know it's pretty common sense what it sounds like it means. But how do you really do it? How do you really shut out everything else? And can you even do it? And I want to tell you the answer is yes. Listen to me. If you don't get control of your mind, the devil will enter and he'll play there. And then he will use you. And then he will cause you to be a great embarrassment to yourself and to others. And he will destroy you. And he's already dealing with you. You're already in the boat if you're struggling to sleep at night because the cares of this world are so big and they are overwhelming you. You're already being attacked if you're consistently reminded about both the big and the small pains that have been inflicted on you by others in the past. He's already dealing with you and working on you and trying to find entree into your mind, into your spirit. If you are not able to focus on the things of God, you're already in a battle for your mind and for your spirit. I am so fired up about the apostolic church, because when she understands not just who she is, but whose she is, and when she understands that her mind and her body belong to God, she is going to be a greater force than she's ever been before. And I want to help the apostolic church kick the devil out of the thought life, out of my dream life, out of my imaginations, out of my fantasies, out of my life.
I have some guys over here that are going to help me. If you guys would come onto the platform. Y'all are great. Here, let me examine you for a second. That'll work. Give me one of those. Give me the pen, too. Give me one of those. Give me that one, too. Give me one of those. There you go. Now you're equipped. We had to thin out the equipment just a bit. You guys just stand there and look good. Nice job. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I told you your mind is a recorder. I need a few of your musicians to come back too. Just play with me for a while. Let's just have fun. That's awesome. In the meantime, fellas, I'm going to give you instructions. Okay? Now imagine that you get to go shopping. Grocery shopping. So I want you to write 1 through 10. So 1, 2, 3, 4, the numbers, all the way down to 10. And what you four are going to do together is you're going to create a grocery list of all the stuff you would want if you got to pick it. Can you think of some good stuff? Yeah? All right. Are you guys good? Can you think of some good stuff? Now you walk right over there. And I'll, and then you guys just go ahead and work on the list. Go ahead. Go ahead. Just talk quietly and make that list as fast as you can. Okay? There you go. Now, it's not a vote. Just you tell him what you want him to write down. And you tell him what you want to write. He's going to write it down. And you write down anything you want to write down. No, it's not for the betterness of your survival. Pop-Tarts will work. Cheerios will work. All right? Boys, you got about 60 seconds, so you got to go fast. Now I need the musicians. And the louder the better. And the faster the better. All right? So y'all just think there for a second. Why don't you stand with me for a moment? Pastor Sutton, when the devil was done with playing with you, he will tell you you've blown it so badly that you should just kill yourself because you are no good. I'm preaching, I'm talking, I'm going to show you in a moment. This is serious business. Your mind is not the devil's playground. Your thoughts are not to be equally shared. But we are to grab those things that violate the word of God but have somehow entered into our mind, and we are to pull those things down. Call them by name. You go, well, how do I do it? You call them by name. So you're walking down the street. You never struggled with smoking in your life. All of a sudden, you smell a cigar and something just says, man, take a puff of that. Where is that coming from? You open your mouth and you say, devil, I rebuke that thought. Doesn't belong here. That's not even a part of my past. But even if it was a part of your past,
I have been redeemed by the blood, and the blood still works. And not only will I not give myself to that, but I'm going to worship God and I'm going to clean that space out. All right, 10 seconds to just meddle. It helps if you don't fill your mind with a bunch of garbage from the world. God designed your brain to be a recorder. You get to figure out what it records. So it's going to record, and some things cannot be unseen. You can't unexperience it, so there's got to be a standard that says, I won't do that. I won't go there. I won't see that. I won't put myself in an environment where I think I might hear that. Because if I do, it's going to be another battle I've got to fight. Just real quick, I want you to pray for your neighbor. Just real quick, just going to do a 60-second prayer. God, loose them and give them freedom, Father, to think on the things that you have caused us to think on, the things that are good and lovely and just, God. Jesus, how can we love you with our whole mind if we're not even in control of our whole mind? God, that's an attack of the enemy, is to occupy a part of it so we can't give you all of it. But none of it's his. None of it's his. All of it is yours. All right, I'm going to, boys, are you ready? Are y'all ready? Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to prove to you what I just told you. I've never seen that. Hold that over there for a second. I've never seen it because the paper was blank and the boys created. Did you create that, fellas? Have I ever seen that list? No. I don't even know what's on it. Could be things I don't know and can't pronounce. But I'm going to take the next 60 seconds. One of you guys got to watch. You got to watch. You got a cell phone. Someone got a cell. 60. Got one right there? 60 seconds. Yeah, you better not give me that. You better just time. Now, here's what I want you to do, brother. 60 seconds is going to be loud in here. So I want you to get my attention. Tap me on the shoulder. Get my attention. Say, stop. Now, I want you all to give me that anointed apostolic music. I'm going to dream about this tonight. Now here's what's going to happen. I'm going to take this list, and with all this noise of music that I like, so it'll capture my attention, and all the praise and worship that I want to be a part of, I'm going to shut it all down. I'm going to memorize that list. I'm going to do it in 60 seconds. This is what God designed your brain to do. Watch. Can I have it? A timer? Tell me when to go. And when he says go, we all go. Are you ready? Make sure you say real. Say go.
Go.
How we do?
50 seconds.
Oh. Are we ready?
Number one. Pum 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 pum. I don't. Y'all got to do it. I was like, man, I want to do that so bad. Y'all just make me want to worship. Praise the name of the Lord. Is God good to us? Yeah, I'm adding other noise to my thought process right now. So you don't think I'm just kind of remembering this some strange way. So I'm putting a little space between me and all that information. Number one, Apple Jacks. Number two, cake. Number three, fruit. Number four, milk. Number five, macaroni and cheese. Number six, chicken. Number seven, gum. Number eight, soda. Number nine, soap. Number 10, pizza. All right, I'm turning around because I'm spinning my brain. Whew, wow. Number 10, pizza. And then number 9, soap. And number 8, soda. And number 7 is gum. And number 6 is chicken. And number 5 is macaroni and cheese. And number 4 would have to be milk. And then number 3 is fruit. And number 2 is cake. And number 1 is Apple Jacks. And if you take number 1 and you pour in some number 4, of course you'd have to have a bowl and a spoon, but you could start breakfast and you could enjoy that. Now, you could also have number 2, but that would be eating sweets for breakfast. It's better to eat number 3, which is fruit. Or I would stay away from number 6, which is gum. But if you must, you must. But definitely stay away from soda. Now, if all else fails and you want one meal with everything on it, eat number 10, because that's pizza. So far, so good? You're all fired. You get it? I don't eat meat. You imagine that? God designed your brain to be able to focus and tune everything out. I showed you the reverse of what you're supposed to do. But some of y'all have been guilty of this too. You sat through the entire service and tuned it out. And the music was bum, 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 bum. And you were thinking about chicken. But what God has designed your brain to do is to shut off the noise. And I'm not going to take time on Sunday night to prove it, but if I had a 6-year-old kid, I could show that 6-year-old kid how to do that same thing and discipline his or her mind in a matter of moments, because that's how God created us. But it's not to shut off the worship. It's not to shut off the praise. It's not to shut off the voice of the Lord. It's to shut down those things that compete against all of what I just gave you. He put something inside the human brain that if you will give yourself to it, it'll shut off everything else around you that you might be able to give him your whole mind. Be seated for a moment. Talking about the mind. How do we have the mind of Christ? It's not just cognition. Pastor already said that. It's not just book smart. The mind of Christ is more about walking, seeing, being, thinking, understanding to the best of your ability through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And that doesn't happen just because you want it to, But through the power of the Holy Ghost, God enables you to capture a piece of who he is and what he knows and how he understands it, that you might be able to walk with wisdom and understanding in this world. So, little girl in our church, she's such a sweetheart. She's 12. She came to me and she told me that while she was praying, God spoke to her. And he spoke things that she could not know, but I knew to be true, about someone else in the congregation. A 12-year-old should not have that kind of knowledge, because she has not learned that in earthly sense. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, and when you tap into what God wants to do with us as apostolics, he will give you more of him. So she came to me and she said, Pastor, I was praying, and she's just a frail little thing, and she was shaking. And she said, God spoke to me. I said, what did he say? He said, he has a message for somebody here. And it was after church, and she was talking right here. And she said, can I say it? And I said, well, why don't you tell me what that's about? And she goes, I don't need to say it to the whole church, Pastor. It's only for one person. I said, what's the message? She said, Sister so-and-so is heavy right now with the spirit of suicide. And I felt it when I was praying. And God wants me to go tell her that she does not need to kill herself, but he loves her and he died for her. And any death that needs to happen because of her sins has already taken place on Calvary. And I felt confirmation in my spirit. And at the same time, I recognized there is no way she could have known that of her own. And because I knew of the situation, I knew it was likely true. And I said, you go tell her. And she went and she laid hands on 12 years old. She laid hands on her, talking about giving your mind to Christ, talking about letting God have control of your mind. Not all 12-year-olds are stuck on the things of this world. Some of them are burying their face in the carpet and God is speaking to them, and some of them are giving themselves to the things of God and God is honoring them and he's using their mind because they're not letting other stuff enter into it, because that's not the devil's playground. And right in the middle of a church service, God was able to speak to that mind and that spirit. And I watched her, and she prayed for that girl who just broke down. And I just stood and I wept. And I said, God, thank you so much, because the stuff that girl had been through had opened up space in her mind for the devil. This girl that was, this young lady that was thinking about committing suicide, the stuff she had been through had opened up space, and the devil had told her how she wasn't worthy and she didn't fit in anymore, and how her life was spoiled and ruined and would never amount to anything, and had compared her to the other people around and said, you'll never be like them. You ought to just leave this service and kill yourself. But thank you, Jesus, for stepping in. And I'm so glad that a 12-year-old girl could feel the prick of the Holy Ghost as God is dealing with her, and understand that she is to give her mind and her body to things just like that. We've got to take our mind back. The Pentecostal church must be people who are able to love him with all their mind, all their heart, everything that they are. You've got to be able to get it back to God. Jesus. Lift your hands for just a moment, would you? Somebody come on, just talk to the Lord right now. Remember, most of the battling you do is probably not even for yourself. Most of the battling you do is for somebody else who's struggling right now. Oh,
Help us, God. Help us, God. Speak to us, oh God. Somebody, Father, needs to have the courage, oh God, to open their mouth and speak to the things that are paralyzing them spiritually, because they have found a place in their thoughts, God. They found a place, God, and they're building a home there. But I'm preaching to somebody, and you need to kick it out. It's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy everything about you. But tonight, God is giving you an opportunity. I know you may have been stung. I know you may have been hurt, but God is sending you a preacher to help you out of that situation. Don't let it burn you into silence and into a state of being away from the blessings of God. Shalalamosi. Hikatalamosita. Sota namosita. Italala mosata. Sadalala mosikota yalamosi. Come on, somebody get tired of not sleeping well at night, would you? Would somebody be fed up with that right now? I promise you, I am speaking to that spirit that would cause you to give up. It's a spirit that is a destroying spirit, and it's a spirit of suicide. I promise you, I am not guessing right now, but I bind and I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. If you have been told by that spirit that you are unworthy, don't worry about it. You're not riding on your own worthiness. You're riding on the worthiness of the one who died for you on a cross. You don't have anything in you that's righteous, don't worry about it. You're not riding on your righteousness. You're riding on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And yes, your past may be messed up, but you are not riding on your past. You're riding on something that happened over 2,000 years ago on an old rugged cross that purchased your salvation. And it's not just a song, but the blood still works. And I plead the blood of Jesus over your mind. Come on, lay your hands on your own head right now. Lay your hands on your own head right now and speak to that thing. Father, in the name of Jesus, this space right here is yours, God. My heart, God, that is yours, God. And I'm in a battle right now, God. And there are things and thoughts, God, trying to interfere. But I'm going to fight back, oh God. And maybe I'm not always winning the battle. But tonight, God, amongst this great army, I'm going to fight back, and somebody's going to take back the peace that surpasses all understanding that's been granted to you by the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody, press just for a little bit longer in the spirit. Move past the words you usually say. Would you move past your natural intellect? Open yourself to the spirit that's flowing in this house right now and allow that anointing to rest upon your mind. I speak peace. I speak peace, oh God. That peace, God, that doesn't make sense on earth, God, because the problems are still real and the circumstances haven't changed. But God, you are able to give us peace because you supersede the problems and you supersede the circumstances. And oh God, that same power, that same spirit of peace that swept through other places, let it sweep through this one right now. Ilamo sataha. Come on, church. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversations, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And that's a part of getting our mind where it needs to be in Christ.
Why don't you stand to your feet with me? Stand to your feet for a moment. Come on, something beautiful is happening, and I realize this message isn't for everybody. But for those that are receiving it, those that needed to hear it, God is doing a deep work, and your worship is helping them. Would you lift your hands, and would you lift your voice right now? Sanaratu koyololomo sing.
God, I pray over the one that seems like the battle never stops. God, the devil and the world and life, God, has bombarded them. And they are under attack. And their hands, God, are defensive. And they don't have the energy to swing back. But tonight we stand with them. And because there's not one or two of us, and because we're not all struggling right now, there's some strength in this house, and we strengthen one another so that the one or the two who might be struggling in their mind can break free. And walk in the peace. To walk in the peace. God, give us our full thoughts back. I wanna wake up with my mind on you tomorrow. The enemy, God, comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But you've shown up on this Sunday night to bring life. Don't give the devil any space, none at all. Come on, I need you to pray. I need you to pray until you have a total breakthrough. If you've been struggling in your mind, come on, we'll pray with you. We'll pray with you until there's a total breakthrough. Doubt, confusion, worry, stress, anxiety, depression. There is so much more for you. The devil tells you you're not enough, but he is a liar and the father of liars. Because anything you lack, God has already made up the difference. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. What does that mean? I need to see it how you see it. I've got to understand that I am the apple of your eye because you said it's true. I've got to cast down every other thought that says otherwise. I'm a mighty warrior. I am a mighty warrior. And I'm in the army of the Lord. I'm in the army of the Lord. Come on, you've got to fight. You've got to fight. I want my mind back. I want my joy back. I want my peace back. And I can have it. I can have it. I want my victory back. Devil, you're wrong. I will not turn back. I will not turn back, because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And I'm going to rely on the power of the Holy Ghost working in me. I want that power. I will not entertain those thoughts. I will not go places where those thoughts are produced. I won't dabble in it. I'm going to protect this battleground.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, Father, I love and worship you. I honor you, God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, yes, God, yes, God. Yes, God, yes, God. Come on, don't give up. Don't give up. Your mind is too important. I'm not surrendering my mind. I'm not surrendering my heart. Nah. Fight the devil for it. This is how you cast it down. There is no magic to it. It's this right here. It's through your worship where you commit over again that you give your heart and you give your mind unto the Lord. This is the work that is done to help you cast down those thoughts and those imaginations that compete against the knowledge of God. Listen, let me close just with this. You families, be careful. Make sure you pray in the name of Jesus over your families. Listen, if you're a husband, and you can hear what I'm saying right now, it's all right to keep praying. It's fine. No problem. But many times it's the men that hear their wife and children talk about what's going on in their heart, their mind. Men, if that's the case, then you owe it to your family to get them to the altar and fight that spiritually. This is not, you don't try and counsel them through this. You know what the counselor does when this happens in my house? I say, where is the oil? Come on, let's pray about this, babies. Let's pray about this, wife. Because our home, our minds, our hearts, all of it belongs to God, and the devil has access to none of it. And I plead the blood and I anoint with oil. So if there's some heads of the household and you're here and there are people in your home that need to be anointed with oil, come on, don't be bashful. Where are they? Where are you? What are you doing, God? We're covering our family. Come on, the yoke breaks. Woo, shut. Woo, shut. There is nothing more powerful than when the head lays hands and begins to evoke the name of Jesus. Ha ha ha.
Come on, somebody win the battle. Don't stop praying just when you feel a little bit better, because that's only a tie. Somebody push on through and win the battle. You'll know it's won because tonight you'll sleep well, and tomorrow you'll wake up feeling the presence of God, confirming what He has done in this house tonight. Come on, is there anybody else? Anybody else? It's not too late. Anybody else? Anybody else? Beautiful, 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 beautiful. God, you see every heart. You see every struggle right now, God. You see, God, every tear that's being shed, God. And you can hear people, God, fighting for their minds, God, and fighting for, God, the things that control their heart, or God, speak to their heart, oh God. And I pray in the name of Jesus, God, strength and courage, God, and anointing and power, God, into this body, oh God. Give us a great victory here tonight as we take back our minds. Some of y'all are pushing through hurts. Push through it. Don't let it consume you. God is the only person who can renew and recreate in you, and He's here to do that right now. Push through it. Jesus.